This is Brandon Clay. Appreciate you tuning into another episode of the Brandon Clay Daily Show. A lot going on in the game in totality, but we're going to stick to women's basketball today. So much happening. Let's start with the main event. You know, last night, obviously, NC State, South Carolina. Really great first half. A lot of positive things to say about Wes Moore. Four of the five players on the floor for coach were kids that have transferred in. I put a post out on my X account. I'll make sure you follow that, at Brandon Clay PSB, that stated that none of those four averaged double figures from a career perspective before arriving at NC State. And then Asia James, who was obviously the star of the tournament, you talk about a stock riser, she was fantastic, you know, averaged 4 and 6 points respectively, you know, her last two seasons for the Wolfpack. So for them to even be in this position was an absolute masterpiece from Wes Moore, Nikki West, Ashley Williams, the whole staff. They did a great job. And for a half, you know, we're able to battle the juggernaut that is South Carolina and Dawn Staley, fight them tooth and nail. And then honestly, in that third quarter, the levee broke in respect to Coach Staley and her staff for making some adjustments there at the half. But two, just continuing to allow those players to make plays. Johnson, Pow, Fu Wiley, Cardoso was fantastic. It kind of got it rolling. They'll play tomorrow afternoon in the national championship, and they're going to get to play against Caitlin Clark. We get a rematch. Can she pull it off again? You know, I think it's so interesting in the space right now. Iowa with a huge win over UConn last night. What a great game. The pace and flow of the game really picked up late third into the fourth, right? Everybody seemed a little bit off. UConn was able to disrupt what Iowa normally does. Clark finally got her bearings, and I sent a text to a friend of mine at the half. I said, heck of a first half for UConn. Great adjustment. Nika Mule, the whole nine. But do they have the conditioning and the stamina? Not only the foul trouble, which obviously affected them as well, but do you have the conditioning and stamina to defend Caitlin Clark like that? 94 feet for 40 minutes. You can do it for 18, 20, adrenaline 22. John Clay Jr., my dad, used to say, everything's good till that monkey gets on your back. And about minute 25, you realize how hard it is to keep someone like Caitlin Clark from doing what she wants to do. I actually had a chance on Wednesday at the Naismith Awards brunch to spend a minute with her, and just her commitment to overall excellence, you know, you could have a whole pod on that itself. But I thought last night was really unique in the face of a little adversity to take a couple of punches, because she and Iowa both did. They took a couple of punches and they threw a couple of counters. I actually sent another post out on X a couple days ago where it talked about the importance of Hannah Stolke and Kate Martin. This was in relation to LSU's combination of Anissa Morrow and Felaje Johnson. It held true the other night and held true again last night. You know, they were only as good as Stolke and Martin could be, and Martin got going late. You know, the tough one-legged fade, I mean, she was really in her bag last night. So it definitely was a collective effort. And then obviously Gabby Marshall did a really good job on Paige Beckers, the way that Nika Mule did a really good job on Caitlin Clark. One player to take a look at from that game to me was KK Arnold, freshman for UConn. We actually had her at several of our showcases when she was in high school. She was an All-American, so it wasn't like she was underrated or under-talked about, anything like that. That's not even what I'm saying. But her performance last night on as large a stage as the game can give you outside of the national championship game was noteworthy. And I think it spells a lot of great things ahead for her, but also for the UConn program that struggled and battled some injury. And struggle is such a relative word when you talk about what Gina RM has done in stores there. But for them, struggle, right? The Final Four is not the expectation. The expectation is the championship. And they just added a piece this morning that could help with that in 2024, Sarah Strong. We've got her as the number one player in the country, Prospects Nation, and we made that adjustment coming off of a workout in June 2022. Gym was full of kids. Emeritus at Notre Dame, Lexi Blue, who's about to go to play at Kentucky now. I mean, there was just a ton of really good basketball players in there. And Sarah Strong was just different. You know, we were in the drills working. She could post it. She could score it. She handled it. She's got good vision. She could pass it. She could shoot the three. She just does a little bit of everything. Her mother actually has worked for the Boston Celtics for numerous years. Allison Feaster played at Harvard. I mean, they're not strangers to that corridor of the world there in the Northeast at all. So Strong picking UConn is not a surprise. UConn was always in the lead, you know, going back into the early stages of her recruitment. You know, even some of the other schools that tried to come in the picture, South Carolina's and LSU's, always knew that they were battling UConn at one, and it was trying to see if they could get a place at the table. And, you know, Strong did a good job with her recruitment, was very steady. You know, she's a smooth kid anyway in terms of, you know, just moving at one speed. So nothing about her recruitment was rushed or forced. And when she felt like it was time to make that decision, she did just that. Huge get for UConn. I don't think that that can be understated. Bringing back Beckers for another year. You bring back Arnold. You bring back Shade. Obviously, you lose Edwards, but you had a whole slew of, you had a starting five worth of kids that were out for the year with varying injuries. You know, one of whom is another alum of ours in Caroline Ducharme. So a lot of great pieces. Maybe the best roster they've had in stores, I mean, in a decade. You're going to have to go back a long time to find a roster as complete on paper today as what they have coming in now with the addition of Sarah Strong. Adelaide Jernigan out of North Carolina will stay in the Tar Heel State. Just added a scholarship offer from Kentucky. She already had one from Kenny Brooks at Virginia Tech. Obviously, he just moved. That was a major announcement earlier in the week. Jernigan, a direct beneficiary of that now. And I think that's a place, again, resources they will not be lacking in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Had a chance to connect with the staff for just a second during the week. And, you know, that's a place where basketball really matters. You know, there aren't a ton of those. You talk about the blue bloods across the country. You know, it's a Kansas, obviously, what Duke has done on the men's side. You know, UConn is another one, both men's and women's. And then you look at a place like Kentucky where basketball trumps football on a consistent basis. And it's really interesting. I think that that's a place that could make a lot of sense for Jernigan as her recruitment continues to roll. Last but certainly not least, taking a look at the game tomorrow. Don Staley's done such a good job. You know, I wrote an article this week for 24/7 Sports that centered around the fact that the Gamecocks, in hindsight, in theory, were ranked too low at number 6. But in reality, you lost 3 kids to the first round of the WNBA draft. You didn't have that centerpiece scorer returning, right? You didn't have Clark coming back to Iowa. Beckers next year for UConn. Juju Watkins will do this for Southern California next year, right? You have that centerpiece scorer that you know is coming back. Raven Johnson played well down the stretch last year. They added Tahina Pau-Pau. They really did a good job, but they didn't have that kid that makes you go, man, they have to be in the top 5. And all they've done has been great. They've gotten so many contributions from so many different places across the board. Ashlyn Watkins has been fantastic. Tessa Johnson has been fantastic. You know, Chloe Kitts has been giving them minutes. I mean, you just look at the balance, and then Carmilla Cardoso's really stepped up into a new role. And I mentioned Johnson earlier, and I thought that she's been absolutely fantastic and mainly been consistent. Tomorrow's going to be an interesting game. You know, can they do to Caitlin Clark what UConn did, which is slow her down, make her have to play at their pace? It took 25 minutes for Clark to get up and down yesterday, and that's not normal for her. So can South Carolina duplicate that, if not stretch her into the 30s? And if you can do that, I think you're going to win the game. Maybe going away, honestly, if you can make Caitlin Clark have to play at the pace she played at for the first 25 minutes last night, for 32 to 34 minutes, you're probably going to win it. Or can Iowa devise a strategy that gets her loose and gets her a little bit freer, maybe closer to the 16 to 18 minute mark there before halftime. So excited to see how it goes. What a great weekend for the sport as a whole. We'll come back to it tomorrow after the game. As always, we appreciate you tuning in. Indy Gym is home.